Support for In the Garden comes from The Flower Farm, featuring impatient hanging bags and new planters, as well as bouquet subscriptions, soils and amendments, shade and black ground cloth. The Flower Farm, open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a pig. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
And welcome to KFSK's In the Garden. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. And with me from Juneau today for In the Garden, Master Gardener Extraordinaire, Ed Byarski. Good afternoon, Ed.
Hi there, Mindy.
How are you?
I'm good. And it's not even raining here at the moment. And it's supposed to hopefully dry out for a while sometime soon, which we need. We've had enough rain. 5 inches this month so far.
I agree. And all the plants are starting to flip-flop around. It's hard to garden in the rain now.
The slugs are thriving and the cabbages are exploding. And so we need to do... There's lots of stuff to be done in the garden and around the gardens.
All right. Well, give us some tips on a few things we should be doing right now for, cleanup. How about some replanting, staking? That sort of stuff?
Really, right now it is looking at the garden to see what is mature for harvesting. And there's a whole lot of stuff that is. Last week we talked about, the indications for harvesting garlic. Since then I've pulled out, 3/4 of my garlic is out and curing in my greenhouse, one of my greenhouses, and in my furnace room. Because I've seen as I've been testing, that was just starting it last week, it's time. They're mature enough. The cabbages. I mentioned exploding cabbages.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our change, lots of plants like consistent moisture, and we could hope for consistent sun, too. Well, we haven't had that. We went from one extreme to the other, pretty much, from the end of June, and lots of sunshine to 5 inches of rain this month here in Juneau, and I don't know how much you probably had more in Petersburg.
Quite a bit.
That has resulted in some of the plants which have reached pretty close to were mature and might have held longer if it had stayed just dry. But then all these rains come and the cabbages, pretty much it looks like they're exploding. They're cracking in the center, and there's a reason for that, to let the flower heads sprout up out of the center of the cabbage to flower, be pollinated, and set seed. That's the way things work in nature. They're trying to complete their life cycles. Cherries are doing essentially the same thing, not quite for the same reason, but again, that sudden burst of moisture on ripe cherries with the high sugar content makes them burst. Other plants are starting to bolt because of long daylight we have had. I've got Swiss chard, which is bolting. So I'm picking and eating it just as fast as I can. If we were to look at what's happening underground with potatoes, although it's early for them, But potatoes, if they go through the same conditions, a dry period, kind of steady growth, and then a sudden downpour of rain, potatoes, and some varieties are more resistant than others, they can crack. I mean, they're actually growth cracks, you know, sudden growth that causes them to split. And then, again, the problem with that is then that it can also let disease, fungus issues and stuff get into them. The cherries, the cracking cherries, the fungus starts to grow on those very quickly. But the cabbages, that just makes a greater way, easier way for the slugs to get in and start chewing on that nice, tender cabbage inside. So we want to get out in the garden and harvest, and if you have to, give it away or process it, freeze it, cook it, make juice out of the cherries, whatever it happens to be. But we need to be harvesting in a timely fashion as plants come ready.
That's right. And same with the raspberries, you know, just a lot of raspberries. And then I'm afraid with the rain, they're going to start getting a little bit moldy.
Oh, very much so. I mean, we've picked 2.5 gallons of raspberries so far. We picked night before last, and we're going to probably pick another gallon tonight. So, yeah, you want to get them off the bushes as quickly as possible because they do mold quite easily. So, again, whether you just freeze them on trays quick and easy and then into jars, or if you're making juice or making raspberry jam, you know, they're ready when they're ready. You can't just leave them there and hope that you can, oh, I'll pick them next week when I have more time. Well, it's got to be pretty much now. We were picking in the rain night before last because we needed to. They were ripe. So you've got to get them off there. The other thing is, too, you don't really want to allow them to grow that fungus, and then, of course, they fall off on the ground, and then that fungus and spores can be splashed back up onto the next crop. Too.
Oh, yeah.
So removing those is always worthwhile, which applies to any fungus or diseased produce, leaves, dying back leaves. If you cut, like I've been harvesting, same thing, I've been harvesting cauliflower very quickly here and eating and giving it away and get the stems out of the ground and chop them up. Compost them if you're confident that there's no cabbage root maggots on them. Otherwise, ship them off to the dump to get them out of the garden. And then that makes room for some new planting. So I'm looking at doing that in another week or so when the rest of my cauliflower, the purple ones, are a little slower to bolt than the yellow-orange cauliflower.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get them all out. That'll be a bed that'll be exposed. Improve it a little bit and plant some more stuff.
And when you're improving, you're putting in some compost, and what else?
Well, I've got all this. I'm fortunate enough with my neighbor having a couple of horses, so I've got all this great compost to horse manure. It's full of worms, so essentially what I do once I clean, you know, pull the plastic off the beds, I'll dig trenches in that bed and put some horse manure in, and then just turn the trench over and just keep mixing it in. You know, there'll be 3 or 4 shovelfuls per trench. These are 3.5 foot wide boxes. And just mix that in. And then usually if I'm going to be replanting it pretty quickly, I will add some of the organic, balanced organic fertilizer to it also.
Uh-huh.
And then if I want to wait, cover it with some plastic, which I've done with one bed, and otherwise plant it quickly.
Yes. I want to remind folks that this is a call-in program, so if you're listening and you're thinking about questions that you'd like to ask, it's easy. Just call us here at the radio station, 772-3808, and you can ask your question, and you don't have to hang out on the air. You can hang up and let Ed answer the question or let us talk about it, but certainly call us up, 772-3808, or you can call 888-772-3808. Yeah, I'm thinking about, of course, fall planting as well, and looking through some catalogs about what would be good to start planting in the next couple weeks, and definitely the spinach and some winter kale coming up, and also some broccoli, some, you know, like quick growing broccoli.
I haven't had much luck with that, but that's worth trying. Certainly planting right now, radishes, some of the early, you know, some of the turnips that are don't take as long a season. Again, look at the seed packets or look at the descriptions in the catalogs, because what you're looking, if you want stuff to mature, you know, this fall, like in September, October, you're wanting something that's going to be 40 to 60 day crops.
Right.
Or you're looking for potentially the overwintering, and those, when they start giving numbers of 150, 200 days, you know, that's way out there. That's looking at next March, April, May, potentially. So try to decide what kind of stuff you want to eat. Experiment some. Try some new varieties. I mean, with the interesting, strange weather we are having, we might have a harsh winter, we might have a mild winter with El Nino supposedly building in the Pacific. So certainly, you know, seeds are pretty cheap. For $2 or $3 or $4 for a packet of seeds, we can plant a whole lot of stuff, or just plant a few seeds of 4 or 5 varieties and see which one does the best, which is what I've done with the spinach. I mean, lettuce is an ongoing process. Swiss chard, again, some I noticed that they do bolt quicker than others, and some will last longer. Some flavors are different. So, you know, experiment on your spouse and your children and anybody else you can drag over to taste this stuff and see. And they may say, oh, don't ever feed me that stuff again. you know, for me, arugula, even though it grows fast, I have no interest in growing that stuff again because I don't like the flavor of it. And other people swear by it. I swear at it. So try some of this new. There's new greens, new varieties coming out all the time. And it also kind of gives you a chance to try some new recipes, too.
Right, right.
I was talking with Chris Sargent from the school, and we were talking about maybe doing something with have a smoothie contest with the kids. And, you know, different kinds of berries and greens, and toss them all in there with yogurt and milk and juice and bananas and whatever else, and see who's got the best smoothie of all this stuff. So, again, there's another way that you can use pretty good quantities. You know, you can put a lot of kale into a smoothie. It's pretty amazing. Although there can be some side effects, too, to that, you know, with that extra fiber if you're not used to all of that.
I was just looking at some recipes using just small greens, baby greens, and making like a baby green and tomato soup. And I'd never really made a soup before with baby greens, but this one uses, of course, the blender and fresh tomatoes and some garlic, and it sounds delicious. So I'm going to try actually cooking some baby greens, not just, you know, we're talking about chard and kale, but lettuces as well. So I'll report back on that.
Yeah, one thing we've been using, too, is, of course, we got all these, you know, I talked about the exploding cabbage, but as I've been harvesting the cauliflower, I mean, they're beautiful leaves on the outside of the cauliflower, which is a very large part of the plant. All of that stuff can be used can be sautéed. If the tenderer ones can be tossed into salads. They can be cooked, again, for your soups. And even the thick stems can be chopped into small chunks. And that, again, can go into soup, potentially. Broccoli, again, the leaves of the broccoli can go into soup. And even, of course, when the broccoli, if you don't pick it fast enough, it'll flower. Well, the flowers are edible. So those can go into salads and such. So lots of the plants and, you know, good old chickweed. There's always more chickweed out there. I was pulling some this morning. But we use that. That gets tossed into salads and can certainly go into soups and smoothies and other things, too.
I've had my eye on nasturtiums lately. I planted my nasturtiums a little bit later this year, so they're just now starting to flower. But I noticed other folks, your nasturtiums are flowering, and they might even start making the seed pods. And if you don't want those seed pods, give me a call. I'd be happy to come over. But I would like to pickle some of those seed pods this year. But, you know, if you really want a nice-tasting salad, throw in some of those seed pods and throw in some of those flowers. It's just delicious.
Yeah, I have not done the seeds. I've heard folks can, if you pick them at the young enough stage, before they're fully mature, I guess, for kind of like a caper substitute.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, both the leaves and the flowers are edible and can be tossed in salads. So particularly if folks, some people, you got to be really careful. If you over-fertilize your pots where you're planting nasturtiums, you get these gigantic, you get almost dinner plate-sized leaves, I've seen. So those are the sort of thing that you can pinch off and use, again, in salads and soups and such.
Okay. What should we be doing right now, Ed, with our perennial flowers, trees, shrubs? Of course, some of the most beautiful flowers are done, and should we be cutting those back right now? Take, for instance, the peonies.
Yeah, well, that depends on whether you want to save seeds or not. So if you do, and I am, in fact, that's one of my projects yet today, because it's dry, so I'm going to pick some more seed heads of columbines. I was cleaning some of the batch I picked about 2 or 3 weeks ago in the last couple nights, shaking all of them out of the pods and then sifting them through to clean the seeds. And so some of the primrose seeds are available and can be harvested if you're wanting to start. Again, that's the cheapest way to start lots more plants, if you're patient. So, but if not, if you don't want to save seeds from these things, yeah, cut all the seed heads off, because otherwise that's a lot of energy going into making seeds, just like deadheading your annual. Taking off the fuchsia flowers and fuchsia fruits, too, which are, yeah, they're edible, but they're pretty bland. I guess maybe fuchsia berries in the smoothies. Well, anyway, you know, I guess, and I understand even the flowers of those are edible, which makes sense if the fruits are. So deadheading those so that the plant for annual will keep bearing more flowers. For a perennial, more of the energy will go into growing a bigger, better root system, storing energy for next year, so you have even more flowers. So that's always worthwhile. On trees and shrubs, again, if you're certainly, well, your rhododendrons and lilacs have been done flowering for a while, same thing. Remove those seed heads, seed clusters, flower clusters, because we don't need those, and for the same reason. The energy of the plant will then go into, be stored in the roots for next year. And the cleanliness of all of that, you're removing something that can potentially rot also. It can potentially be composted, of course, but getting it off the plant so that you're not getting that that extra fungus issue for reinfestation for next year, too.
Sure, sure. Looks like we have a caller, Ed, so I'm going to go ahead and take this phone call from somebody here on line one. Welcome to In the Garden.
Thanks, Mindy. I'm curious, has Ed ever had any experience in saving the seeds of peonies?
Did you hear that question?
I did. different. It's going to be, this year might be the year. Now, I have, first I do have, I think you saw my tree peonies when you came up to visit.
Mm-hmm.
So those always set seed. And I have, if somebody wants to try some, I'll bring some, no, I don't have any yet. I'll take names and I'll send people some when they ripen a little later this year. I have some species peonies. They're single pink flowers. That mine came from, they were seedlings from a fellow up in Talkeetna. Up there, they're a weed in his garden. They seed themselves, he digs them up and gives them away to people. So those, and I have never had seeds mature here in Juneau on mine. Again, weather's different here than Talkeetna. However, this year may be different because I've seen the seed pods are getting full, and they may very well have some mature seeds later on. And so what you want to do with those, if you want to save them, again, you might get something, depending on if there were different varieties blooming, you might actually get something different, which is, of course, how they come up with new varieties, by either Mother Nature, the birds and the bees pollinating from one to another, or even hand pollinating if you're doing that. The challenge is it's a patient game, because with peonies, from seeds which mature this fall, it will take next year, so if you plant them in some potting soil or in pots or in a garden, they will only grow a root next season. And then in 2016, 2017, then they start putting up leaves. So, and then from there, it's going to take another 3 or 4 or 5 years to get to flowering size. So, are you patient? If you're successful getting seeds to mature, then are you patient enough to grow them and take care of them and hopefully not dig them up as weeds, you know, if you don't have them planted in a dedicated seedling bed, I guess, to wait for them?
Okay. Did that answer your question?
It did indeed.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling. And we can take more calls here, too.
I'm curious to see what will happen with my own. So if I get seeds, I will certainly try to grow some and see what happens this year. It's been a different year.
Ed, I'm interested in hearing a little bit about how the garden at the Arboretum is doing that you showed me, that beautiful garden in the fenced-in area with all the rows. They were going to work with some straw bales and lots of other things. How is that garden looking this year? Have you been there in the last few weeks?
We were out there, let's see, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and it hit 84 degrees or something like that. Everything's growing like crazy. Merrill, again, was saving seeds because that's part of the thing he does. He swaps seeds with other botanical gardens around the country and actually around the world. The vegetable garden was looking really good at the time. I saw there are edible honeysuckle bushes. I mean, he has some honeysuckle bushes which have edible kind of elongated blue fruit. Flowers aren't much. The flowers are little greenish-yellow flowers. You don't even notice them when they're flowering. So those were doing really well and were ripe. They're kind of a tart and tangy berry, which I think would make a great jelly. His peonies were looking beautiful, absolutely beautiful out there. He had a lot of different, as you mentioned, vegetables. He's got multiple varieties of kale, different kinds of some very old varieties of potatoes he's growing out there, along with each year has a couple of patches of grains. I mean, he has grown wheat and oats and barley. And again, for some folks, that's educational by itself, just because most folks have no idea what this stuff looks like.
Sure.
To see, and it grows, this stuff grows tall, and he actually can harvest the seeds. He has lots of poppies, pink. These are pink double poppies that produce big seed pods, edible seeds that you can use to make poppy seed muffins and that sort of thing. These are also pretty much the same as the single flowers are, the single reds and lavenders are some of the opium poppies.
Mm-hmm.
So those seed themselves all over the place, and he usually sells some seeds, has some seedlings of those for people to take. And so the garden, just like everything else, is doing extremely well, and growing and harvesting is ongoing. I mean, I would assume his garlic is probably ready for harvesting also.
People here are eating some nice zucchinis and things like that, and I know many of you out there listening, you have these great, amazing greenhouse gardens, or you've got some nice raised beds out back, and we'd love to add you to the garden tour when Ed comes in September. Ed will be here on the 14th.
Not that long. August.
Or August, not September. Yeah, sorry. Ed will be here the 14th of August. He'll be he'll be at the market on Saturday, and then he'll be at the school and community garden doing some workshops there, and you'll be able to contact Christine Sargent about that. I'll get that information to you and what they're going to do there at the school garden. And then on Sunday, he'll be doing an In the Garden tour with KFSK, and that'll be Sunday afternoon, and we'd love to have you on our garden list. We could use a few more gardens, and then, of course, you can sign up to be on that garden tour as well as a participant, and Ed will take us around, and we'll get to check out the gardens, maybe have some snacks, and hear how folks are building their greenhouses and see how they're doing it. So we would love to have you involved in that. You can call us here at the radio station. Yes, Ed.
Yep. When I was talking to Chris today, I mentioned I'll be coming in Friday afternoon, so potentially we could have some sort of a workshop Friday evening too, and then workshop Saturday afternoon, garden tours of whatever sort on Sunday, and hopefully whether we have some sort of a informal get together gathering, a potluck would. I love potluck. What can I say?
Yes,
be something
fun.
With some tasty food, hopefully garden grown or locally grown or captured, caught, snagged or whatever. That's right. Deer season will be open too. Maybe some fresh venison as a hint to somebody.
We'll try to work that out. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah.
So
sounds like it'd be fun. Who knows what sort of maybe some adult beverages to go along with them.
Yes, I agree. And that's all going to come up in August, the weekend of August 14th. So we hope to get everybody out in the gardens, and we would really. Your garden does not have to be a perfect garden, because we're going to be learning as we're looking at your garden, and don't worry, mine's full of weeds, and I don't mind people looking at it.
And I guess it goes the other way, too. If folks are a little shy about that, I mean, I'm happy to do a one-on-one garden visit, too, and just chat about what things are happening, or if you've got concerns or improvements that might be made. I'm game to do private gardens, too, if people would rather not have 27 people tramping through their gardens.
Sure. Okay, Ed, well, we'll let you get back to what you're doing. Since it's not pouring down rain, it's a good time to be out and about and getting some of your work done. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, very good. Lots of harvesting to be done.
Okay, thank you so much. And I just want to remind folks, if you get up to Juneau, you've got to go, and first of all, you can stop by Ed's place. He always likes to have visitors. And then you can, on your way out to Ed's, past Ed's, he can tell you how to get out to the Arboretum, where you could see it's just an amazing garden out there. So,
be happy to do that.
Okay. Thank you, and we'll be talking to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Mindy.
All right. Take care.